Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Rear Naked Radio, your weekly MMA review show right here at rearnakedradio.net. I am Paul Scorcher-Laporte. With me, as always, my co-host Jeff Shooter Graham, back from his hospital leave after the brutal Nate Diaz beating his Irish Derek Kenny. And joining us, a special guest host, female judge and referee, Jamie Lang.
Hello.
Thank you. Hello.
Jamie is a, as I just mentioned, a referee and an aspiring judge in the Michigan area. Both her and Shooter were at the Ground and Pound Promotions card that took place last night, so they will be going over that. We'll be taking a step through the Shooter's sack as usual. We'll be going over the quote-unquote WEC card, though if you actually saw the show, those letters never came up. The Phantom Mixed Martial Arts card, and we got a little surprise a little later on in the show, too. So, Jamie, once again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Is Derek back with us yet?
I don't know. Is he? Derek, you there? Did he go somewhere?
Yeah, he has.
Oh, he's going to throw up.
He was going to go throw up.
Oh, okay. I see.
Apparently too many blue Hawaiians for Pinto, I guess. I don't know.
We established before the show that Kenny was partying. What were you selling? Were you just drinking yourself into a stupor because you've realized how pathetic you are?
You were playing the Glee drinking game or something?
No.
Every time they sing, I have to take a drink.
No. It was nothing important, which is another reason why I probably shouldn't have been out doing it. I was just hanging out with my friends, hadn't been with them for a while, and just fucking got plastered. Fucking stupid of me.
Hey!
Yeah.
You have sponsors.
I'm sorry.
Sponsorship. Thank you. Hi.
Sorry.
Oh, look at that. I should have a little meter here counting off the money we lose every time Derek speaks.
If you guys just don't hear me talk, I probably had to run to the bathroom again, so.
Well, as always, you're going to be a wonderful contribution.
Professional as always, Derek.
Thank you so much.
Honestly, right. I forgot the show was today, so I'm a genius.
Wow.
You piece of monkey ass. What the hell, man? Well, I forgot the show was today. Oh, I know, because you haven't been on in so long.
This kind of stuff happens on HDNet all the time.
Yeah. Bot comes into the studio. Oh.
Oh, I forgot we were doing the show today.
Well, Wapo forgot where he was. Sorry.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
On Tuesday mornings like that.
All right. Well, before the show goes any more to hell than it already has, let's
quickly before Derek pukes anymore. Let's go to the sack, shall we?
Everybody's favorite part of the show. Not on the mic, Kenny. Please.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Sunday, April 25th, 2010 version of Da Sack. I'm Jeff Shooter Graham. All right, here we go. Updated card for UFC 113, Machida versus Shogun in Montreal. By the way, I just want to mention GSP is not anywhere on this card, which I thought was kind of funny. They're going to try and pull a Canadian card without, you know, their number one Canadian on it. Okay.
Yeah, it's still going to be good. I think it's still going to draw a lot.
I'm sure it will. I mean, it's got a really good main event anyway. Crazy Tim Crater, not a friend of the show, a person who beat up on friend of the show, Nate Corey, before losing, is pulled out of his fight. He had a fight against Dirty Tom Lawler, and unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
It's filthy. It's filthy Tom Lawler. The filthy Mauler.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Dirty.
Jesus. Shut up.
Okay, continue on.
Are you guys brothers?
Sometimes.
Close enough. Sometimes I wonder.
We look very similar, but
yeah. It's like, when you see Paul and I next to each other, it's like the number 10.
All right.
Moving on. Let's see. This card contains TJ Grant versus Johnny Hendricks, Nick Cantone versus John Saltair, Joey Beltran versus Chad Corvin, Joe Dirksen versus Tom Lawler, Marcus Davis versus Jonathan Goulet. That's all prelim unaired stuff.
Oh, Goulet sneaks his way in, though.
Yeah, well, you know, the Road Warrior. For the main card, we have such incredible standouts as Kevin Kimbo Slice Ferguson versus Matt Meathead Mitrione. I can't believe he actually let them name him Meathead.
Yeah. That was kind of a derogatory name, but he just went
with it.
That's
not really a compliment, is it?
No,
not in any way. No. Shape. I mean, it. What if they called him douchebag?
Right.
Matt, douchebag, Mitrio! Okay, let's see here. Alan Belcher, Patrick Cote. Patrick Cote is Canadian, so that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Is Belcher? I don't think he is.
I don't believe so.
So,
Jeremy like Stevens? Alabama. Oh yeah, because he's got that really crappy Johnny Cash tattoo on his.
Oh, brain. That's right. What do we think that was?
The John Popper tattoo.
The John Popper tattoo.
Oh, nice. Tattoo. It's Johnny Cash.
I don't know. It depends on how much weight he lost that week because it looks.
Oh.
Jeremy Stevens and Sam Stout. Sam Stout, very Canadian.
Super Canadian.
Paul Daly and Josh Koscheck. Neither one Canadian.
No, but is British, which is close.
Yes, and then
how's that close?
And then the two Canadian mainstays, the Canada's favorite sons, Lyoto the Dragon Machida and Maurice Jodunhu.
The pride of Canada, Lyoto Machida.
Pride of Canada. Joe Rogan, I love Canada. All right, let's see here. This just in, my computer is running very slow.
Nothing new. Breaking news there. Is Lazo going to make his way onto this card? I actually heard that UFC is going to be giving him yet another chance.
He's replacing Nick Catone.
Kenny's like,
the crow. He could beat their Ace Franklin.
No, he's replacing Nick Catone. That's the last I heard, anyways.
Go pound some beers, Kenny. Get some hair to the dog on you. And,
yeah, no kidding.
Let's do this shit. Come on.
Bloody Marys might sneak you out of it. Hook up an IV or something.
Go sip some Appletinis and head back. Come on.
No, I'm down in some Sprite right now, clearing my system up a little bit.
Soda doesn't clear out your system. just because it's clear doesn't mean it clears out your system. I understand the correlation you're trying to make.
I'm downing some vodka. It has nothing.
It's clear.
It's going to
clean me out.
You know what? It's making me feel better, though, so I don't give a shit.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Whatever works for you, buddy.
Actually, much better.
Anyways, yeah, Loazzo's replacing Nick Catone. He's fighting John Salter. So, yeah.
Look at that. I got scooped by Derek Kenny. This is a
scooped
bad...
Scooped by hungover Derek Kenny.
This is a dark day for Shooter Sack people. Kenny Sack!
Pass.
All right.
This sounds bad.
It does. All right, here we go. BJ Penn wrote a book.
Yeah.
Reading it. Wrote a book, yeah. How is it so far, Derek?
It's actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I haven't gotten too deep into it, but so far it seems very real, and he comes off very humble in the book, so it's interesting. So,
well, that's cool. Unfortunately, I do have news on this, and I'm not in any way saying this to counter what you said, but mm-hmm. if any of you have HDNet, then Inside MMA last Friday may have known BJ was one of the guest hosts on the panel, and he talked about how he goes, yeah, the book was written, you know, it's my stories, but basically the ghostwriter pretty much wrote all that stuff because I don't sound like that.
Of course.
That's nice. So when you sound humble and contrite, yeah, that's not you.
He actually sounds like a nice guy. I sound nothing like that.
Well, that explains why I was pleasantly surprised. Okay.
Right.
Let's see what else we got here. Oh, Frank Beer. Yes, Frank Beer. Mm-hmm.
No Frank sentence. Beer. No positive sentence has ever begun with the words Frank Mir.
Former UFC heavyweight champion Frank Mir is at a point in his career where he isn't going to get what he wants. Brock Lesnar. Especially after being knocked out by Shane Carwin.
So it appears
now he's looking at other avenues to take his fighting career, like a catchweight bout against
Dancing
Anderson
with the Stars.
Silva. No, he wants Anderson Silva.
Really?
Yep. He says, and I quote, "I guess Anderson Silva has made illusions about wanting to move up to heavyweight, and for whatever reason, he keeps saying my name. So I've made statements that if he really is serious about this, I would try to make 235 pounds as a catchweight."
Yeah, that's not much of a catchweight.
Well, it is for him because he spent all that time bulking up for Brock only to get crushed by Carwin.
No, I mean, like, that's not much of a catchweight, as in, you know, Anderson Silva, like, probably walks around, what, 215, 220?
Oh, that, mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's generous. Going up 15 freaking pounds. Yeah. I don't know.
I he wouldn't even have to.
No, no, he wouldn't have to.
I'm sure Anderson could fight him at 185 and still kick the crap out of him.
Yeah, that's not going to end well for old Frankie boy.
Mm.
I don't think.
I don't know.
Let's see here. What do we got? Okay, Jake Shields to the UFC.
Hell's yes.
I hope so. Not official, although people... Dana White is talking about it. And again... It's not a really big deal because how many times, according to Dana, has Fedor going to be in the UFC?
Yeah.
And how many times have we heard that Tito will never be in the UFC?
No, I buy Shields is coming in, though. I mean, they've been trying to get this in the works for a while, and I honestly think that everybody, you know, Dana was honestly expecting Shields to lose to Hendo so he could just be like, oh, okay, well, since you don't have the belt anyways, come on in. But now, I mean, Shields is at the advantage of now Strikeforce is going to make him an offer because they don't want their champ just waltzing out on him.
Speaking of which, I think I might be the sound delusional here, but I actually think if Shields goes to the UFC, he should stay at 185.
Yeah, that's pretty delusional.
That's pretty delusional. Well, I honestly think he could beat Anderson Silva.
Wow, that's really delusional. You're in.
Okay. All right. No. Hold on 1 second. Which fighters has he had the most trouble with?
Shields?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
No. Who has Anderson Silva had the most trouble with?
Nobody.
Dan Henderson and Travis Luter got him down.
Henderson, he subbed in the second round. Travis Luter.
Dan Henderson, he still won the first round.
You know what? That you got a point. Henderson won that first round.
Okay, and let's go from there. And what if we give a guy, say, I don't know, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt under Cesar Gracie? You know, pretty good at staying out of submissions. Takes one more avenue from Anderson Silva. I think he could beat him. Like, I don't think he'd finish him, but I think he'd beat him in five rounds. Yeah.
You think, like, the other two Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belts he just recently faced, who ended up just...
Yeah, but
like,
he didn't submit either of them.
No! Well, he just beat the shit out of him.
What I'm saying is I think Shields is a good enough wrestler. Get Anderson down, stay out of submissions, beat him down for five rounds.
You know what? After watching what he did to Henderson, you may be right. I don't know.
So, but you never know. I don't see that ending well for Shields at all.
I think he'd have a better time against GSP personally, but that's just
I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I mean, he did such a good job out wrestling, you know, former Olympian Dan Henderson. I kind of agree that he might have a better shot against GSP.
I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah, Dana White is saying Jake will definitely be leaving, definitely coming to the UFC. To just make a side point, Shields was at the WEC so-called event last night.
The MMA company formerly known as WEC, I mean.
Yeah.
They're dead. They're so dead. We'll talk about that later, though.
I just got an email saying if we want to have Dean Thomas on tonight, we can.
Full house.
Well, no sure. time to prepare for it whatsoever. Thanks for the last minute stuff there, but
we'll try and line it up for next week. It's a little bit of a scoop for you people there. Dean Thomas maybe next week.
Yeah. Anyway, this is basically he says, and I quote: Jake Shields will definitely he's going to leave Strikeforce, and he's definitely coming to the UFC. They never respected Jake Shields, who is their champion. They never even had him in their commercials for the fight. Then the fight happens, and Jake Shields wins. Dana White said. They were like, oh, my God, Shields won. What do we do? I think they sent Jason Mayhem Miller in there to challenge him. So Jake leaves. It looks like he doesn't want to fight Miller. That's not the way to do it. Let the winner speak. Right. And you ask him at the end whether he's going to fight Miller. Yeah, well, that's true. I don't know. I don't really. If he goes, yay. If not, Strikeforce, personally, I think is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, now they really don't have anybody for... They really don't have anybody for any of their top contenders, really. They don't have anybody for King Mo, really, except for, like, a rematch with Gegard. They don't really have anyone for Shields.
Just...
They don't really have anybody for Melendez.
Not
and
just
Ortiz.
That,
but I mean,
they're overspending with all their free agents, in my opinion. Same problem that Affliction and Elite XC both made.
Yeah.
So they challenge the UFC?
That, too.
We'll see. We'll see where they are in a year. Which is too bad, because Strikeforce lasted for a long time just being a small company. You know, then they kind of just took Elite XC's place once they died, and looks like they're going to go the same way, probably.
Right, right.
Derek Henney's going to puke again.
Yay! This is on-the-spot news. Puking!
This just in.
Derek Henney changing his name to Ralph!
All right, go on.
All right.
What's wrong without him?
M1 blames Strikeforce for Fedor not fighting recently. Gee. Color me surprised.
Yeah.
It is the fault of the American pig dogs. Capitalist swine.
So what are they saying? Why are they saying that?
They're just saying there were certain clauses in their agreement which were not lived up to. One of these clauses was co-promotion.
Must give Fedor all the money.
And it said, it must give Fedor everything. It says, given that M1 spent a significantly larger amount of money on the first show than Strikeforce did, they would like to see something along the lines of a number of M1 fighters fighting on the M1 Strikeforce show, the main show, the undercard.
Number of M1 fighters, you mean Fedor?
Well, no, they have other fighters.
Usasi's not there anymore. Usasi managed to get out.
I said the ball's in their court. Fedor's in good shape. He's trying constantly to keep his form up. He's very frustrated because he wants to fight desperately.
So are they just going to hold Fedor hostage until, you know, they decide to co-promote with them? Or they actually going to play ball here? Because this is getting kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, basically what they're saying is we do not want a repeat of the November 7th show, which for all intents and purposes looked to be like a Strikeforce show. We want to be 50-50 partners. We want this to be a proper, fully-fledged co-promotion. It's not going to happen.
Strikeforce might cave to it if they have no other choice, but
I don't think they can afford M1 anymore, to be honest.
Who can? M1 asks too much. They want a 50% co-promote with everybody. You know, when they did, Strikeforce has been doing the groundwork for years, and they just want to toddle in and, hey, now we're 50% partner. No.
Well, I mean, what does M1 have besides that? Okay, they have Fedor, arguably one of the greatest fighters on the planet, if not the greatest. But other than that, what have they got?
Nobody. Like I said, they don't have Musashi anymore. They have nothing.
They have Alexander Emelianenko.
Who can't fight in the States anyways, nine times out of ten.
Only because he's wanted for Russian war crimes or something.
I think he has, like, Hep C, too.
Oh, great.
Something like that.
Hey, where's Gina Carano?
I don't know.
So Jamie, is Gina over at your house? Okay.
Wow. It's just you and me.
Hey, everybody bailed on us, man. I'm getting another message. Is it too soon? Dean's ready in 15 minutes. Here's his number. I haven't even said we'll have him on. Okay, man. Press agents. Gotta love them. Anyway, Gina said after her fight with Christine Santos, a.k.a. Cyborg, I know I'm a better fighter than the way I performed that night and was heartbroken not to be able to give more. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry about it. She says eventually she does plan on coming back, but she's been in a movie with doing Knockout with Steven Soderbergh. So...
I don't know.
For a second, Jamie sounded like Yoda.
Sorry. I'm so involved in listening, I keep forgetting that I can talk, too.
Yes.
No, not it, where Carano is, do
talking,
I?
Talking is allowed on the talk show.
Yeah.
Unless you're Derek, in which case, try to get you not to talk.
Puking okay, you asked, me if, what, you asked me if Gene was here, and I said no, but did you hear me?
No, didn't hear a thing.
Okay, because I think I had it muted by accident. So.
Aha!
I'm trying to mute it when the kids run through the house so that they don't like make a whole bunch of noise.
Oh, that's
just
all right.
Put them on. That's what I do with my
kids. We've had Shooter's kids on the show at least three, four
times.
One time I had my two boys picking who against Jason.
There we go.
Nice.
Who is it, Mom?
It's my friend Shooter.
No, Kenny, don't go!
Yeah.
Kenny, you can't leave!
No, you can't go!
Why not?
Where are you going?
I need you, man.
If you guys really want me to do this through the whole show, I will.
Give us
15
more minutes, okay? We have a little surprise lined up for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Randy Couture is supposed to be fighting James Toney.
Yeah, that 118, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like
that's the Boston card.
We discussed this earlier. This is a no win fight because, like I said, either what happens, what's supposed to happen, happens, and Couture smashes Tony. Uh-huh. In which case, okay, big deal. And yeah, Dana's got his personal vendetta against boxing out of the way, but it doesn't really do. You know, it might make him give him one payday, but then no one's going to care about Tony after that. Or Tony manages to knock out Randy Couture, and now your entire sport looks like a joke.
Yeah.
This is a no-win situation.
Which would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious, but it would suck at the same time. So,
totally.
I mean...
Totally.
So, I mean, I understand that they want to get as much money as they can out of Tony before he either flames out or decides to say, you know, screw it and just leaves. But they should give him at least one build-up fight. Put him in against somebody who he has at least a solid shot of beating.
Small chance, yeah.
Yeah. You know.
I agree.
All right, well, that's pretty much it because the rest of my news has to do with WEC, so go ahead and hit the music and we'll move to our next fun segment.
Has to do with what?
The WEC card.
The what?
So there wasn't a
UFC card.
Yeah, the nameless promotion card. Kenny, hurry back.
Hurry right back, Derek. Big plans for you, pal. Well, man, for somebody who's so sick, you're writing a lot. Oh, my God. All right, I'll do a little bit of a spoiler alert here while we're waiting for Derek to get himself together. Dana White is making excuses. For those of you who may have seen the quote-unquote WEC card, he doesn't know about that.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who may have seen the WEC card, Mike Brown lost to Manny Gambarian.
Yeah.
Dana White is already making excuses for Brown, which kind of sucks because, in my opinion, it takes away from Manny's win. But yeah, he's talking about – and the thing is, nothing is sacred to Dana White, man. He's out there, well, you know, Mike Brown, he missed 14 days of his training camp, and his girlfriend just broke up with him, and he's been really – I'm like, whoa. If that was me, I would not want anyone discussing my business.
Right?
I don't know.
That doesn't matter. That's why you're pro.
Exactly. So, Derek is still gone. So, Scorcho, how was your week? No, you know what? I'm not even going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to Jamie. How you doing, Jamie?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm awake, finally. It took me a long time. I was up pretty late last night.
Yeah.
Apparently, I didn't party as hard as Pinto did, but I partied.
Yeah.
You didn't even say goodbye to me, you heartless wench.
Totally didn't even say goodbye to you. Well, I just kind of got caught up in a bunch of stuff, and then I turn around and you're gone, and I felt horrible. And then I was gone.
I sat. I sat down there for like an hour with the Fight Michigan crew, Shannon and TJ, just shit. And because you had crutched out, you're like, you looked over at Shannon, you go, see you around. You crutched out, and you never came back.
I totally meant to, and I feel bad. Totally feel. And it must have obviously it was probably a few minutes for me and. Actually, an hour, and I turn around and you're gone. I'm like, oh, and then I go to call you, and can't find my phone.
Well, I've gotten over it. At one point, though, I did end up calling our mutual friend Shannon. I was like, I don't remember too much about doing this, but did I say something to upset Jamie because she's not answering her phone? last I heard, she wanted to come on the show, but I don't know.
Yeah, I felt bad. Okay. I'm going through like withdrawals. It's been less than 24 hours without my phone, and I'm like freaking out.
Oh, see, I thought you were having withdrawals because it's been so long since you spoke to me. Yeah.
Well, it's only been 24 hours. Usually, that kind of stuff I hear is like a couple days. So,
right.
I got your picture to look at.
Oh well, that's good. You know, at least it's something.
Right.
All right, let's see here. Well, while we're talking to you, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, you're a female referee. You don't see a whole lot of those.
No, I kind of got into it a couple years ago with my little brother, started doing it, and I wasn't really sure. You know, I wasn't sure about it. I was just thinking, you know, like, you guys are out of your minds, just beating the crap out of each other for no reason. And I kind of got into it because I was an EMT and he asked me to be the medic for his fights, yada, yada, and fell in love with it. And now he's over in Iraq and I still do it and I really wanted to be in the ring or the cage, but I don't want to get punched in the face. And
Okay.
Yeah, so I was like, well, let's compromise, and I'll be a ref and watch them get punched in the face. And I have, like, front row seat, so. And I can call the shots.
Which is nice.
Which is very nice.
All right. Now, how exactly did you go about becoming a ref?
I ended up meeting one of the promoters, Paul, up in up here in Michigan, and told him I wanted to do it, and he said, well, we'll get you in it. And it, like within a few weeks, I was signed up for the class in Lansing with Mark Fennell and took the class. And there was actually another girl in there, but she was in it for the judging aspect and not the reffing aspect because it was a combined class. And so I said, no, I'll judge all day long, but I'd rather be in there and reffing. So I can't wait.
All right. Well, you've already ref one event. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And how'd that go? Any problems?
It was great. Oh gosh, it was so great. It was a small venue up in Lakeview. Mm-hmm. Couple hundred people, maybe. But it was really cool. We had, I think, 13 or 14 fights, and I think it was less than that. But I ended up doing more than half of them. You know, on my first time getting in there, I get in there and I completely forgot everything I knew. I'm like, holy crap, I am screwed. But once I actually brought them to the center and told them, you know, obey my commands, protect yourself at all times, yada, yada, it all came back. And I was totally focused and it went great. It went perfect without a hitch.
Now, I know I talked to you about this earlier. Do you have a cool catchphrase, you know, like, Big John's got, like, get it on, and what do you like to say?
You know, I was thinking, I was trying to come up with something cool, you know, something that lets them know that they need to, you know, start doing something.
Bring the shit, bitches.
Right. Well, you know, like I told Shooter, I said, maybe I'll clap and just say, fight, or maybe I'll get, like, a little flag and throw it up in the middle like the girls do when the guys go for the race. <thing.
So, laughs> Try it.
Maybe I'll do that. Finish him. Kumi.
Yeah. And I'll turn around and jump up and down like the girl does when the cars race by, you know?
Yeah.
Flawless victory.
Fatality.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat. That would be sweet. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'll just, I don't know. Just being the girl in there, I think would be enough. I'll just, you know, clap and say fight.
That can be your gimmick.
Right.
Or just be really girly girl.
Right. Let's go, guys.
Right.
Let's fight.
Pop a hip and yeah, absolutely.
All right, now Kenny, can you do this?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are you sure? Because if you can't do it, you'll just do it next week.
Fuck it. I'm in now.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have any crackers?
No. No, I'm just a boundless soda.
Stick to the Brad diet.
All right. So you
it's actually the carbonation in the Sprite that is making you throw up. So you want to shake it and let it get flat.
Oh, wait. Tell me. How do you know this?
Now she tells me.
How do I know this?
How do you know this, Jamie? Tell them.
I used to be an EMT.
Oh, right. Very cool.
I used to be an EMT, almost a paramedic.
Now, is it a real kick for you to tell a big, tough fighter to obey your commands?
Yeah.
Obey me.
Yeah, it's kind of... You know, he's like 6'7", and I say, you have to listen to me. Absolutely. You big, tough, sweaty man.
Now, is there a rule about dating the fighters? Yeah, you, like, encourage not to do that? Is that fraternization or something?
That would be...
I think so, but... Upon. Yeah, a little.
Of interest.
Yeah, if you're tagging them left and right, that might be a problem.
That's one way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah. But I... At the same time, like if you're, you know, obviously if you're with somebody or whatever, but it's the same thing as with if you're with a certain camp or if you're with a certain
Yeah, they just want to line you up for those fights.
You just don't ref the fights that you know people. I have a couple guys that are really good friends of mine that I'm not going to ref their fights because usually I'm cornering for them and that's kind of a conflict of interest.
Right.
So
obviously.
So if I were to date a fighter or anything like that, it would be, I just wouldn't be reffing his fights.
If that was to ever happen.
You know, and that's a fun segue, too. That's a good segue.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say, Shooter?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty good. But I don't know if our contestant's here.
Derek, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, brother.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
How you feeling?
Better, actually.
So, good, okay. Good. Right. Okay, so let's go ahead and do this because, you know, Shooter was talking with Jamie, and we found out that Jamie and our very own Pinto live a very, very short distance apart.
Oh. Yeah.
They're both up there in North Michigan.
Like 15 minutes or so. So we thought that this would be an exciting opportunity to do something new and unique on the show. And that is our own little version of the dating game called Would You Date This Man?
Oh, God.
Please meet our contestants. He is the spiky host of Rear Naked Radio. Everybody, please meet Derek Pinto Kenny.
I thought it was Irish Derek Kenny.
Nope, not today, buddy.
Okay, fine.
Whatever.
Not today.
All right.
Welcome to the dating game. Our first lucky bachelorette is Jamie Lang, Mitch ref and singer extraordinaire. And unfortunately, one-legged at the moment, but Derek doesn't care about that.
That's what I hear.
Ouch.
Now, Derek, this is very simple. Jamie has a few questions to ask you, and answer them as honestly as you can. They're multiple choice, and there's no wrong answers.
Okay.
Great. Right. All right.
Okay, go ahead, Jamie. Hit him.
Okay, first question. If you were a fighter, what would be your nickname? The janitor, Little Evil, or Cheese Steak?
Big Pulver fan, so I got to go Little Evil.
Little Alrighty. Evil, okay.
Little Evil.
All right, Little Evil.
Intriguing.
That's telling. It's very telling. Yes, it is. All right.
Okay.
Come on. Next question.
Next question. Let me see here. Okay. What MMA company best describes your physical appearance? Dream, YAMMA, or Bodog?
Okay, I'm sorry.
The second one was Yama.
Yama.
Our favorite joke organization, but not that I wrote these questions or anything.
Yeah, not that you know what she's going to say.
Best describes your physical appearance.
Bodog, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Dream? It's not Dream?
It's not Dream. It's Bodog.
Okay.
Sure.
Hey, why not? Wait, let's
go.
Okay. All right. Third question. You're interested in setting up a date with me. Mm-hmm. Please tell me the MMA quote that would best describe the first impression you would make.
Oh, jeez.
First one. I am not impressed by your performance. Second, right kick hospital, left kick cemetery. Or, hey, buddy, when do I get my rematch?
Let's go with the last one.
Okay. All right, then. Are we ready for the next one?
Yes, yeah. Go ahead, Jamie. Okay. Please, so ask away.
You're taking me on a romantic date. Okay, where would you take me? Back to the gym for a sweaty workout, to a serene dojo to meditate, or to McDonald's to carb up before the main event?
Definitely back to the gym.
Oh,
saucy.
Getting a little saucy. Wow.
Saucy. Okay. Here's your last question. Things go really well, and at the end of the night, we find our way back to the bedroom. Please describe your style of love.
Sorry, making. Jamie. Wait a minute. What did you just say?
I said things go really well. And at the end of the night, we find our way back to my bedroom. Mm-hmm. Please describe your style of lovemaking. Would it be ground and pound? Punches in bunches? Mm-hmm. Or lay and pray?
Jesus. That's all I'm going to say.
Ground and pound.
All right. So now that we've answered all of the questions, Jamie Lang, would you date this man?
He sounds fun. I would probably, absolutely.
Oh, that's nice.
I'd give it a shot.
When I'm sober is a better choice.
We want to thank you for playing Would You Date This Man? Our perpetual contestant, Derek Kenny.
Wonderful. Thanks to both of our contestants for playing.
That was amazing.
That's one word for it.
That's something. All right.
Okay.
Well, while we're out here, buddy, why don't we talk about the Ground and Pound 14 card that happened last night? Jamie and I were there.
Yeah.
Derek, what were your impressions of it?
Wasn't there.
Oh, that's right. You weren't there. You were too busy tying one on. Real professional. Okay. That's why you don't get a cool press pass like I'm going to have.
Right. Those were big.
Huh?
Yeah, I wanted to go.
I could have ate off that thing.
They're like a coat of arms. Monstrous.
Yeah, it's like a chest shield. I mean, just it was huge.
Doubles as a chair.
Okay, I'm going to give my impressions, and Jamie, I invite you to just go ahead and chime in anytime.
Okay.
This particular ground and pound card, this is like my fifth or sixth ground and pound. They're all pretty good events. I mean, especially for an amateur organization. This one was the best and the worst I've ever gone to.
It
was the best in that the quality of fights, by and large, with one or two little missteps. It was like 20 fights.
Yeah, and, I think it was 22 altogether, they said.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And wow. Jesus, that's a lot of fights. How long do the cards normally go?
Usually they start like 7:30 and get done around 10:30, 11-ish, I guess.
That's like 22 fights into 3 hours?
We didn't get done till like midnight.
Oh,
last night was like midnight, but not to mention, there was only a handful of fights that went past the first round.
Right. You get a lot of them. It's just poof, poof, and it's done. But they're still, even though it's amateur, it's still 3 15-minute rounds.
Last night, for whatever reason, I think because they had so many fights and it's amateur, the rules are very subjective. And by the way, we'll be having Ground and Pound's Paul Simpson on sometime soon to explain this to me, but he changed the rules so it was 3 2-minute rounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were quick.
They were fast rounds, although half the time, and this is one of the bad things, the timekeeper had no clue what he was doing.
Oh, my God.
I have to ring the bell?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. He rang the bell. The referees were turning around screaming at him because they couldn't hear it.
Ring the bell!
No, dead serious. And this guy was sitting right in front of us. Like, our table was right behind the timekeeper.
Right.
How do you screw up timekeeping, though? It's a cakewalk. You hit the bell, you hit your stopwatch, you keep an eye on the stopwatch, and when it hits two, you hit the bell again. It's freaking easy.
Right.
Okay, number one, he didn't hit the bell hard at all. Number two, when he sounded off for 10 seconds, the first three fights, he forgot to do the 10-second warning.
Okay. Right.
And number three, he watched the fights.
Oh, so look at holding, that. That's awesome.
He's sitting there holding his stopwatch up. I'm looking at the guy, right? And he's holding up his stopwatch and not paying any attention to it, just staring at
Oh, shit, it's too cling, bang, bang.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. At one point, a friend of the show, Shannon Hale from Fight Michigan, was like, "Timekeeper, hit that freaking bell." He's like, "Huh? Oh, okay. Huh?"
Yeah. So they weren't exactly perfectly 2-minute rounds.
Yeah. Now, they were two-ish.
2-minute, 5-second rounds.
two-ish.
2-minute-ish rounds, yeah. Okay, let's see what else. Good in that, like I said, the lion's share of these fights were very competitive.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys actually really did show some good skills. It wasn't just a brawl for all, which it could have been called in the past. I like that.
Yeah.
Bad. Okay. Derek, you've been to Ground and Pound cards, man, and you know how big those venues are, right?
Yeah, man, they're huge.
Yeah, these are very large, you know, more than 1,000 people venues, which is nice for a nice little amateur show.
Right.
This was at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And
room 503.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It was booked, I think the limit was Paul told me it was either 400 or 450. People.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They sold almost 600 tickets.
Oh, yeah. Nice little fire hazard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was packed.
People were packed in left and right. It was so crazy. I mean, I got there almost an hour before the fights, and I had to park 3 blocks away, no kidding, and walk up because it was so packed. If a fire marshal had come, it would have shut down the show instantly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of people there.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's got to be especially bad for you because you were crutching.
Yeah, it was a little rough. It was a little rough when you got, you know, 4 inches in the aisles. And I'm like, you know, hello. So I had a lot of people offer to carry me, though.
I bet.
Well, it's always nice. It helps to be a cute girl.
Yeah.
I mean, if Derek was there and asked for somebody to carry him, it probably wouldn't have happened.
But Derek wouldn't ask for anybody to carry him, so
Derek is carried by no one except for us when we do this show.
Oh,
damn!
Nice. Derek, except for the co-hosts of the show.
Nice.
Damn. Okay.
No, you wouldn't, I know you wouldn't have gotten carried, man, because you wouldn't have even come. You wouldn't have showed up. You'd have given some lame excuse and then gone out and partied.
No, I really wanted to go to Owosso, but my car would have spontaneously combusted on the way down.
How do you know? Your car doesn't look that bad. It's only caved in on one side.
It's only caved in on one side. No, it's had some engine problems and other issues. And like I said, my friend, I was like, dude, we can go to Owosso. No, it's too far. You fucking pussy. I was pissed.
I guess so.
So where did you end up? Just curiosity.
Where did I end up instead of there? I ended up at my buddy's place pounding beers because I'm a dumb shit.
Nice.
Use it again.
Yeah.
Since we're apparently dating now, I should know these things.
Yeah.
Keep your man under control, Jamie.
Right. Right.
Okay, let's see what else we got here. Last night's card, blah, 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 blah. Overcrowded, bad parking, good fights. Oh, let's not forget about the fact that the racist pieces of ass shit that were up above the ring screaming down profanities and racial slurs at everyone. Awesome.
That was absolutely horrible. Yeah. Horrible.
Let me ask a quick question. Were they serving alcohol at the show by any chance?
Oh, are you kidding?
In
buckets.
Yeah, the nice thing was that there were a lot of beers being passed around, but when the chick came to our table to ask us if we wanted anything to drink, Jamie's like, well, are you serving mixed drinks? And they're like, oh, no mixed drinks, just Coke. But we do have these nice little rum lemonade drinks. And so,
which is a mixed drink.
Which first round was on me.
Right. And to clarify with your message that you sent, you left on my video camera without me knowing. Mm-hmm. The only reason I didn't bring one back for you is because you said you were only having one.
Oh, you didn't listen to me. You don't know.
I didn't.
Listen to him when he says he's only having one, if anything. If it's if it's a drink, if it's a hot dog. He's like it's like Pringles. You can't have this one. Or Lay's. That's what it's Lay's.
It's Lay's. But it should be known that it was one of the things that Shooter can just have one.
Yeah.
I did just have one.
Yeah.
Only because she didn't bring you another one. You're too lazy to get it yourself.
They have people serving us, you Nimrod.
Yeah,
I don't have to get up and get it myself. Yeah. I just like the idea of the crippled girl going and getting me a drink.
Right.
Fair enough.
What's bad enough is she came back with a drink, even though I knew she wouldn't bring me one. And then a little bit later, she came back with the waitress following her, carrying her drink for her.
Right.
You carry my drink.
Carry my drink.
I'm hobbling through the crowd with a drink in one hand and my crutches in the other, and people are like, oh, you poor thing, let me carry that for you. I'm like, if my drink is more important than my foot, I can do this myself. Like, if I'm that concerned about my health, I probably would put the drink down. So I'm good. Thanks, though. Still, you know, whatever. It was pretty cool.
Another good thing about the card. Mm-hmm. There was a cute chick who sang the national anthem.
Yeah, she was pretty cool.
She's all right. She's all right. A little stuck up, but.
Well, you know, you gotta be.
Why is that?
You gotta be stuck up when you're singing the national anthem. Otherwise, they're gonna walk all over you.
Right.
Yeah. People always take a big fat jump
on that shit. Otherwise, they're just gonna be like, "Oh, the national anthem, bitch. Fuck her." I have it all the time when I go out to places and they sing the national anthem. That's why you gotta give it to them right up front.
Absolutely.
I was not very impressed with your performance. Your national anthem is lame. Okay, let's see. What else was good? As always, Paul Simpson, the CEO/head chief mm-hmm. of Crown & Pound, was a great guy, great host. He made a point of coming over and hanging with us as much as he could. He was very busy.
Yep.
I appreciate that very much.
I walked around a lot, very professional, and trying to at least make sure things were going as smoothly as possible with all those people.
Right.
So he did
the
good.
The worst thing for me of the entire show, and I don't know how you felt about this, Jamie, mm-hmm. was the fact that the medical quote-unquote professionals that were handling this didn't know their ass from a hole in the ground, and I'm not.
No.
I wish I was exaggerating, and you guys are going to love this, Derek and Paul. okay,
oh my
at one point, the end of the first round of a fight, the bell's about to ring. This dude catches a stiff punch somewhere between the back of the neck and right behind his ear.
Ew.
I mean, yeah. It was arch. It was, and it was ground and pound.
And dead so, on.
Well, yeah, so we know it was ground and pound, but what type of punch was it?
It was more of a hammer fist.
Ah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just kind of fell down on him. Remember when Henderson came down on Bisping?
Yeah, the jumping fist, Ted right. DiBiase fist drop, yeah.
It was like the Jerry, the King Lawler fist drop, actually. Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
But, okay, so obviously this fight's over, right? Mm. The guy's laying there in terrible pain. He's rolling around. His face is bright red. The quote-unquote medical professionals fill the ring. This doc, number one, weighs 8,000 pounds and can't even get up the steps.
Oh, Jesus. And he moseys on over there like...
Yeah, I think he's a cowboy.
He's got time to kill or something. Yeah.
Well, what's going on over here, Christian?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, and the whole time it's right in front of me, and he's trying to put these rubber gloves on.
Oh, gotta get the gloves.
He's trying to get his gloves on. Finally, he's just like, screw it, and he throws the gloves down on the ground.
Whatever, I'll get it. Let's do this.
Yeah. Right? And so he gets down there and he's working on the guy and everything, and eventually, another friend of the show, TJ Corwin from Fight Michigan, who was also refereeing that night, he didn't break his foot. anyway, TJ runs out of the cage. I'm like, oh, I wonder where TJ's going. I hope this isn't bad, you know. At one other ground and pound show, I've seen an ambulance come in and have to take a guy out because he was not so bad. TJ
Otter
runs
time, right?
yeah.
Okay.
TJ runs back, and he's got a stack of hospital towels, or not hospital, I'm sorry, hotel towels. The green stripe on them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the hell is he going
to
do with those?
You're going to have to pay
for
those.
Well, as soon as I saw them, I'm like, are you kidding me? They're not going to do this. And as soon as he unrolls it or, you know, unfolds it and then rolls it up, and I'm like, oh my goodness. They're
so
trying.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell them.
They use the towels as a C collar on this guy. They wrapped it around his neck, around his shoulders to immobilize him with towels because they didn't have any. I have them in my trunk. They didn't have any.
And then at that point, okay, so while they've got the towel around his neck and they tape it up with painter's tape.
Oh, that's so ghetto.
Then they sit him up. They sit him up and make him walk out.
Oh, no, wait. Because first TJ runs over to Shannon and says, hey, do you have that flashlight? And she's yeah, and she hands him a flashlight, and he runs back so they can check the guy's pupils.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I seriously have every one of those things in my jump kit in my car. If I had even known that for a second, I would have gone out and got it. Are you kidding? Holy cow. And obviously they didn't have a board because they made him stand up and walk out, which completely dissipates the point of having the towels around him anyway.
Are you okay? Can you do some jumping jacks for us?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You can't show us some freak dancing.
That's hilarious.
He walks out, he's high-fiving people. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Wow. It's
pretty funny.
That's awesome.
I think the nurse was just there to look pretty.
She did.
Did she look pretty?
He was cute.
Dude, she looked pretty.
Yeah, I thought she was a ring girl at first with that tank top thing she had on.
She should have been a ring girl. In my opinion, blew away quite a few of the ring girls. That's sort of the bad thing. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be very loved in Owosso, but I didn't think much of the hometown ring girls. I'm glad Paul I'm glad Paul brought his ground and pound girls with him because the hometown girls needed some help, man.
Holy cow. I'd love them for trying, but dang.
And the last little gripe I had was that somebody tried to kick us out of our table.
Yeah, that was a little upsetting.
Who?
One of the younger officials from Ground and Pound came over and told us that we weren't allowed to sit at this table because, you know, it had been bought by somebody else. And at this point, Shannon, who I thought I was going to have to restrain because she jumped up ready to throw down, was like, Paul sat us here himself. And the guy's like, well, I don't know why he did that because this table's sold. He can't do that. And so at this point, I very calmly and with respect entered the fray and explained to the gentleman,
I will kill you.
No, I just said, I was like, we're the press, where are we supposed to go? And he stomps off, and a second later, Paul comes over shaking our hands. Hey, how's it going, guys? You guys doing good? Oh, good. Yeah.
I just shot that guy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I'm like, isn't Paul like the owner? Doesn't he have ultimate? What do you mean Paul can't do that?
Dana White can't do that.
Really? Watch. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You tell Paul that.
So, anyway, but all in all, out of 1 out of 10, I'll give the card a 6. I would give it higher if the amenities were a little bit better. The fights themselves, right, well done. And I have nothing bad to say about Paul in particular because, you know, right, the best he can. It's definitely not an easy job.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get too far into it, but one of the key employees for Ground and Pound is no longer with the organization.
Mm.
And a lot of this stuff fell on him. And so this is Paul getting back in control of stuff, and I give him big ups.
Absolutely. He did, like I said, an amazing job for all the 200 extra people that showed up for the things that were getting thrown from the windows and the racial slurs that were getting tossed out those windows as well.
Yeah. I was waiting for beer bottles to come raining down on the cage.
I was going to monkey crawl up there if somebody did that. I was ready. I was already yelling up at them to shut the window and their mouths and everything else. I was getting very angry.
Which is really funny because you see this cute little girl sitting here and she's like, shut the fuck up!
I'm going to throw my crutches up there at you.
You want to go? Come on!
I was ready, man. I was inviting them down. I was so mad. I hate that when people do that. It's like, you have no idea what you're talking about. No idea. Stand them up! When they were yelling, stand them up, stand them up. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then, of course, the one fight, the no contest fight. The only thing I'll say about these two guys, they started out initially brawling for maybe the first 60 seconds, and then they both completely blew up. Mm-hmm. At one point, I thought one guy was showboating, but he wasn't. He couldn't breathe.
He was.
Oh, jeez.
I thought it was a stupid grin he had on his face, but I think he was just trying so hard to open his mouth as much as he can to get the air in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what was going on.
And so this other guy, this kind of big goonish guy.
Yeah.
Clobbered the first guy, dropped him, and then rather than leap on him to finish, he backed up and put his hands on his hips and waited.
Waited for him to stand up.
And he waited, and I mean, at this point, the guy he knocked down was on Dream Street. He was done. All this guy had to do is fall on top of him, maybe pop him twice, and the ref was going to stop it.
Yeah.
Big respect for Travis Travesty, by the way, who was reffing that particular fight. And first he gives the guy who got knocked down, who I thought was showboating and really just couldn't breathe, he took away a point for stalling, and then eventually he just called the fight because it was ridiculous. Yeah. Neither one of these guys. And then afterwards, these guys were hugging and celebrating like they just, you know, fought a 5-round war.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, man, I love you, brother. It's like, dude, you suck.
Completely. Completely. I was, yeah.
Was this heavyweight, by the way?
No.
No.
Oh,
no.
Wow. Then that
was, what, 180?
Yeah, this is like 185.
Yeah, oh my god. 185. Okay. All right.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. I mean, and it was like they were brawling and then they got scared.
Yeah, they just quit engaging.
You can't get any more damage to your face than what you have now. It's not going to hurt any worse than it hurts right now. Go get him. And like Travis, poor Travis is standing between them. They're 2 feet apart. He's screaming at them to do something. And they're just looking at, you know, they're rocking around and they're dancing around and like they're about to go and they just don't.
God. Okay.
And everybody's like, is there something we don't know here? What's going on? And yeah, he's like, all right, you're done. And then he ended up calling it. So totally kudos for that because I know he got a lot of crap for calling that one. Just from the audience, people who don't know what they're talking about. But
yeah, one guy in the audience had to get walked out of there and eventually arrested.
Nice.
Because TJ got into the ring, and apparently, even though Travis and TJ really look nothing alike, this guy was screaming for TJ's head. He's like, you got to learn to do your job! And TJ's like, I didn't ref that fight, man. You're like, shut up! I know what I'm talking about!
Probably drunk.
Oh, there was no probably, man. He was done.
Beyond. He probably feels like Kenny today.
Yeah, probably.
Sorry.
Well, anyway, that's it for Ground and Pound 14. The next card I know I'm attending is going to probably be the MMA Outlaw card.
Yes.
When is that, Jamie? Is that
May 7th?
May 7th. So if you get a chance to go to that, and I'll have more info on it next week, but you get a chance to go to that, be sure to stop and say hi to Jamie, and I will be there.
Absolutely. Hopefully I'll be at least slightly limping and not completely crutching it.
It'll look awkward if you're repping with a crutch in your hand.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it clean or I will hit you.
Right.
I will kill you with this crutch.
All right. So let's get into the unnamed MMA promotion card that took place last night that featured.
Can we just call it WEC so
no,
I'm not confused?
It was not WEC anymore.
Right.
WEC 48, Aldo versus Faber.
Yes.
The Arco Arena, Sacramento, California. Going over the cards, Tyler Toner defeats Brandon Vischer by TKO elbows 2 minutes 36 seconds into the first round. Toner looked really impressive here.
Mm-hmm.
Had some excellent stand up. He was just really whipping those kicks out, and he just chopped down Vischer. They had it by elbows, but really he dropped him with a left hand first to set up the elbows. Vischer looked very crisp. And just really kind of beat, or excuse me, Toner looked very crisp and just kind of beat Vischer straight off the bat. Takaya Mizugaki defeated Hanayaya by unanimous decision.
I was upset about this. I picked Hani.
I just like the name.
That's what I said. Hani. I said Hanayaya. How can you not pick this?
How can you hate that? You have to go with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You okay there, Big D?
Mm-hmm.
You're like,
I'm just trying to get
mouth
air
closed
in my system
so I don't open it and puke.
Slipping loose the mortal coil is Derek Kenny.
That's pretty much the game plan right now. So, yeah.
Thanks, Hans.
Great talking to you. I'm going to go die.
the fight was mostly Mizugaki controlling Hani for all three rounds.
Yeah.
Mizugaki is definitely the more technical fighter of the two, and Hani, who is known to be a little bit wild at times, just couldn't really mount anything against Mizugaki. Chad Mendez defeats Anthony Cheesesteak Morrison by submission guillotine choke 2 minutes 13 seconds into the first round.
Beautiful.
Yeah, not looking good for Cheesesteak. I mean, he had a tough debut against Mike Brown and the... Chad Mendez makes short work of him.
How can anyone be surprised that a guy named Cheesesteak isn't winning?
Best nickname ever.
It's not, man.
Meatstick is the best nickname ever.
What's that?
Meatstick. Meatstick.
Meatstick.
Meat. I heard somebody call themselves that. Really?
Somebody called themselves that?
Yeah. On a bully beatdown on MTV.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. I saw that one.
He calls himself a meat stick.
He said, yeah, I'm a total meat stick. Like, okay.
All right.
He might have even been the one. Was he the heavyweight that Andre crushed? Berlovsky crushed? I don't remember, but I think he might have been. He's like, oh, I'm a meat stick.
Yeah.
By the way, okay. I just want to, I know I'm going off on a tangent, but I just want to say, I'm not a monstrous fan of Bully Beatdown, but I do like it enough. And when the one with Andre Arlovsky is the best because they bring in the two, well, nerds.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, guys, tell me what's wrong. What's the deal with this guy?
Andre, make things better.
Yeah, no, he sits there and they start telling him, and they're maybe, I don't know, three words into it. He goes, okay, I don't need to hear no more. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Like, Andre has no time for you.
Yeah.
Now Andre will make him pay. But anyway, okay. Meat stick is a pretty good nickname. Yeah.
Okay. Brad Pickett defeats Demetrius Johnson. God, this was a good fight.
That was a
These
I like
two
that
just went at it toe to toe for 15 straight minutes. Pickett had some really explosive takedowns. Demetrius Johnson was just throwing some great kicks through a great flying knee that caught Pickett, but Pickett still managed to catch him and slam him to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Just a tremendous fight, but Pickett managed to use his superior wrestling and some good ground and pound to just control Johnson, despite the fact that Johnson was just having some really amazing escapes and just really explosive and getting.
Yeah, he was on the defense totally.
Yeah, but he was on the back foot for most of the fight. But I mean, really, this was probably my favorite fight of the evening. Of course, I didn't see the zombie Garcia fight, so.
Well, see, I didn't see this fight, but I saw the zombie fight. So.
This was a great fight, though. This is absolutely tremendous. One
action
second, pack. I cough along.
Okay, well, thank you, Paul. I'll pick it up here. I don't have the fight list in front of me, so I don't know what fight he's going to cover next. But he's
Carol Alexis and Pettis.
Who did I pick for this? Do you remember?
I think you picked Carol Alexis.
I think I did. Damn it. You let me down again, Alex.
Yeah. Triangle's a real...
It's a, hey, yeah. Tito Ortiz showed me how to defend against the triangle. I saw it on Ultimate Fighter.
Just push the
really?
Hand.
Yeah, you just push the knee off. You reach up, grab the knee, and push, and it just falls apart. All these years, fools have been getting choked out with triangles, and they didn't. But Tito Ortiz, the jiu-jitsu master that he is, hasn't shown them how to defend against it.
Oh, my God.
That's
apparently,
all Carol
Alexis didn't know either. If he went to Big Bear and trained with Team Punishment, he would know.
He would have, yeah. It would have been no big deal.
Or watch the Ultimate Fighter on Spike.
Speaking of the, let's jump in with the Ultimate Fighter. Did you see last week's episode, Shooter?
Yes, I did.
With my boy, my pick to go to the finals, Casey Uscola, getting DQ'd by the Phantom Knee.
I was going to say, he missed by a mile.
Yeah, it didn't look like it connected at all.
It glanced his forehead, it looks like. I mean, it looked like it did make contact. And, you know, you can never say how bad somebody is or isn't hurt by something, but...
Yeah. Just like, I'm very judgmental. I can do that.
I mean, the guy's hand was broken, and he may have just been thinking, hey, I can get, you know, I went out of this, but...
Who was the ref? It wasn't Herb Dean, was it? No,
Jake
I know it was.
Rosenthal.
That's right, it was Rosenthal. Because, you know, Herb Dean, I will give... Herb Dean right now currently is my favorite referee, besides
I love Herb Dean.
Because he will call a fighter on playing the role.
Yeah.
You know? He'll sit there and he'll be like, oh, you were playing the role, man. I'm not taking away a point for that. Because you totally... Like, I've seen, you know, when guys stick their head in the way of and something they know is going to be illegal.
Yeah. Or put the... Like, if they're standing and they're getting kneed in, like, a front face lock position, they'll take a knee to not get, you know,
right,
not exactly. Any knees anymore. Or put a hand down or something like that.
Yeah. They'll do something to tilt it in their favor. And I think... But, yeah... God, this is why sometimes I think we need instant replay because I was really disappointed.
Like I said, I mean, the fact of the matter is it still made contact. Like I said, it was it was glancing, but you know what? It still made contact, and if it makes contact at all, then they got to go with it. I mean, if it completely whiffed them, it would be one thing, but it made contact, and you can't tell how badly somebody's hurt by a shot. Only they can tell that. So
yeah.
That being said, I think Uscola is going to still get the... Gonna either get a wild card, or he's gonna get to come back because this guy obviously can't fight. His hand's freaking broken, so
right.
He'll be back, I think. And scary. And I mean, God, and I gotta look the freaking guy's name up now because I don't remember what it was. But I mean, Uscola was getting handled in the beginning. I mean, there was this guy was, you know, he hurt him with a punch, huge takedown on him. I mean, like slammed him right on top of his head, which you know, I mean, while we're talking about fouls, and you know, apparently spiking on top of the head is not illegal anymore because I've seen 100 people do it and never gets caught.
I don't know. That's crazy. I've seen that a lot lately.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those ones. I mean, unless they literally get dropped right on top of their head, it's legit, but
right. That's, yeah, I don't know. That's close. That's close.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Such is life.
Rich Antonito. I'm sorry. That's his name. Rich Antonito. He was doing really well, and like I said, he had
Richie two times. Yeah, he had a billion.
Also,
like,
was Richie Pumbats and every other stereotype.
I was praying for him to get whooped as soon as the Italian stereotypes had to go.
Like I said, this was the American Top Team show apparently because he was from ATT, and then Jamie Yeager, who beat up Charles Blanchard. Blanchard was a ATT fighter as well, but. Okay, so yeah, that was our brief tough interlude because I feel like sometimes we should talk about the show, but at other times I just don't care. I mean,
right?
Leonard Garcia defeats the Korean zombie Chan Sung Young by split decision.
Very close.
Shooter, I didn't see this fight. Shooter, you saw it, so why don't you go ahead and give the rundown of the fight?
It was very close.
Thank you. Next fight, Antonio.
Very close.
There's not much I can say. A lot of people are calling this, some people even said fight of the decade. I don't know if I agree with that.
Really?
But I mean, really, I'm encouraging everyone, if you haven't seen it, go find it and download it and watch it. These guys, just toe-to-toe, it was a big comparison to Bonner Griffin 1.
Wow.
And I mean, literally, it could have gone either way. To be honest, I wasn't entirely sure that Garcia had it. I mean, I could have seen the fight going either way.
Yeah.
It was just so back and forth,
it was
literally.
Very close.
Yeah, up, down, throwing hands, everything you can imagine, and yeah, what the hell.
They were both holding their own, that's for sure.
Yep. I mean, the gentleman over at ShareDog had it actually 30-27 for Zombie.
For Young, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
So, I guess, you know, a lot of people felt that Young did have the advantage in the fight, and Garcia getting some boos when he ended up walking away with the decision.
Wow. Yeah, even from his fans, some people were not agreeing.
Yeah.
You know? And thank God he was smart enough. You know, sometimes you see fighters get the surprise decision, and they're totally shocked. Garcia played it off pretty well, though. He's like, oh, well, you know, I earned this. And so, more power.
Yeah, Garcia's a good fighter. I mean, you know, I guess the best case scenario is this lines up a rematch between the two.
Yeah.
And it'll actually get on TV.
Right. And, yep. Well, this one was on free TV.
Well, yeah, I know, but it'll actually get on a main card instead of a...
Main card, right. And I believe that's $65,000 for both those guys for Fight of the Night.
Yeah,
so.
Can't complain. I'd take it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly, I'll take it.
Well, who would?
I'll go right now.
I was going to say, no, I don't want the 65 Gs. You keep it. You keep it. I do not want the money.
I don't need the money. I'm very wealthy.
I just do this for fun.
Wait a minute. I heard that last night. Someone said that to me last night.
Yeah, and he was good looking, too. Not only was he wealthy, he was just a hunk. His wife is the luckiest guy in the world.
Real meat stick.
A meat stick.
Wait, did you just say his wife is the luckiest guy in the world?
Damn, I do that all the time.
Why did you do that?
My poor wife, your wife, a man. Oh, Jesus, don't tell her.
Amy, if you're listening to this, make no bones about this. Your loving, doting husband, Jeffrey Shooter Graham, just called you a man.
Referenced you to a dude.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna save that recording. I'm going to play it every show. Until she, I'm just going to call you. I'm going to call her one time. That's going to be a click. My wife is the luckiest man in the world.
Dude. Come on, man. Oh, that's just lies, baby. I never said those things.
Bullshit, I have the tape.
That was audio tricks.
Wow.
Well, see, you were thinking you were the luckiest guy in the world, but you just kind of slipped out and said.
Yeah, that's right, honey. Please don't make me sleep on the couch because I called you a man.
Kenny, I wish I had forgotten you were here.
Amy!
Yeah.
Amy, he called you a man!
Oh, shut up, man.
If you can hear me.
Oh, yeah? Well, your fiancé said I'm her favorite part of this show.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. She told me just the other day.
Now you're just making shit up. Okay, let's go on.
Two can play that game, pal.
Antonio Banuelos and Scott Jorgensen. Scott Jorgensen wins by unanimous decision. First round, Banuelos, a.k.a. Chuck Liddell's caddy, looked awesome. Knocked down Jorgensen with a big left. Really,
he's more of a house boy than a caddy.
I don't. Yeah, I suppose that's
house
true.
House boy.
You know, really, really rocked Jorgensen bad. Jorgensen managed to recover. And then second round, Jorgensen finally found his range and managed to stay back out of the range of Banuelos. And he just picked him apart, man. He was just really pummeling poor Banuelos with some great jabs. Good straights right down the pipe. Banuelos just couldn't get anything done, and Jorgensen just completely picked him apart in the second and third round. Got a solid unanimous decision. Yeah, I mean, Jorgensen just looks so impressive. You know, either whether he's finishing a guy out in 15 seconds, not throwing a punch, or he's in a war like this. And this was a great way to start off this pay-per-view card when you had. You had Garcia and Zombie before in the prelims of this. I mean, WC was coming out firing on all. Or
yes!
Oh, sorry, that's my daughter. We call her Chewy.
Jorgensen.
She does. She's almost two, but she sounds like a Wookiee. We love her.
I'm sorry. Back to fighting.
Anyway, she's just so excited to see me.
Shane Roller defeats Anthony Njokuani by rear naked choke. I mean, that's my notes. 3:07 into the first round. I'm surprised by this one.
You know, Roller's slowly becoming my new Kenny Florian, where I really have to start paying more attention to him.
Yeah, I mean, Roller comes out with a double leg like he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, just
making no bones about wanting to stay out with Njokuani. Takes him right down and just completely houses him on the ground, gets the back, sinks in the choke. Njokuani does absolutely nothing. Which is a shame, because, I mean, I'm a big Njokuani fan, but Roller just made him look amateur.
Like to say his name.
I do.
Njokuani.
It's fun to say that name.
Hey, welcome back.
Oh, Derek's back. Hey.
Live.
You can't have much left in you, dude.
That's true.
I just vomited water, so...
Derek, yeah. I heard the best cure for this is castor oil.
Not
like
happening.
Witch diesel. Oh, come on, man.
For gin is the best.
Gin is good.
Not
try scotch
it.
Like a man.
Yeah, really. That'll make you feel better.
Yep, right. Air on your insides.
Manville, the Anvil Gamburian, defeats Mike Thomas Brown by KO punches. 2:22 in the first round.
Wait, who
big
called this?
Here. Oh, screw off.
Who called this fight? Thank you. I said Manny was going to win. I said he was due. I said I love Mikey, but I just had a feeling Brownie here. But I had a feeling that Manville would win, and he did.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Brown ducks into a really short hook that just caught him on the chin, and he just
Have you seen his arms are like Manny's arms are like a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
I know, but I'm just surprised. Yeah. It was such a short hook. I was really surprised it had that much power behind it, but Brown looked like he was in another world by the time he'd hit the ground. Put some more really hard shots on him. It looked like Brown was starting to recover, but it was too little too late. Ref had to stop the fight.
There was nothing
dispute.
He could do.
Yeah, you can't dispute that that fight needed to be stopped right then and there.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one, that man.
Yeah.
He's got short arms, but man, when he connects, it goes all the way to their toes.
You know, I mean, this is...
Well, it's all power.
Yeah, I mean, this is really the case of a guy who, you know, when his time in the UFC was less than impressive, and now he's coming to WEC, and he's really looking like a world beater. I mean, you know, he's probably going to be the next in line for Aldo. We'll see how that goes for him.
That's what he thinks, although he says he'll fight whoever they put in front of him. He's, I'm not calling anybody out, but... Yeah.
That's
a little baby. See, I talk, I get laughs. You talk, it's like
pretty much.
I'm sorry.
What? This is a professional show where we have our co-host is stepping away to throw up every 10 seconds.
Our drunken co-host, and then we have uncredited 2-year-old on, and yes, I mean what. Let's go wild.
Yes. All right. Gamburian getting the upset victory here, and we'll see where Brown goes from here. Yeah. And for the unnamed MMA Corporation Lightweight Championship, Ben Henderson defeats Donald Cowboy Cerrone by submission guillotine choke, 1:57 in the first round. God damn it.
Shocker.
I had Cerrone on that one.
As did I.
Did you?
It wouldn't have surprised me to see Henderson win, but way he won, which is so quick. Cerrone is not a type of guy who normally gets caught in submissions, and he's certainly not a type of guy who taps quick in them. But he must have just known he was stuck there. Cerrone just made a mistake, left his neck out, and Henderson took it. Perfect opportunity. You know, it was very clear that Cerrone came to strike and got grappled. Much like the Jamie Varner fight. This is a recurring pattern with Ben Henderson. I wish he would just fight like a man.
Wait a minute. You freaking ripped Jamie Varner a new asshole for saying, I came to strike, he came to grapple.
I'm gonna give you a pass because you're shit drunk and sick, but that was sarcasm. You little bastard.
You don't know what the hell you're saying, you moron. He's like, what are you talking about? Hang on. Okay. Yeah. For transcripts of Derek Kenny's rant, I'll write it out here in a second and mail it to you.
Oh, God. All right. So, yes. Henderson.
Is he going to stand up like a man?
Henderson, get it. Wow. Oh. Kenny.
Derek, man, you're gone, dude.
I was joking about the gin remark.
Until now.
All right, so Henderson gets the nod and is now the unquestionable, undisputed lightweight champion for the 3 more months that the belt will be around before he gets folded into the UFC.
Right.
Hats off.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's and you know, we've been making kind of little comments about that last night, but yes, during that entire pay-per-view, the WEC letters were barely mentioned. There was no WEC logo anywhere. Whenever Bruce Buffer, who was now magically a commentator for WEC, announced divisions, this is a bout in the lightweight division or the middle, not the WEC lightweight division, and this is for the lightweight championship, not the WEC lightweight championship. Dana White is claiming that it's because of marketing reasons that there was some, you know, that there's laws about you know, a company who does you know, pay-per-view fights under another name doing it under a different name. I'm not buying that, even if that is the case. I honestly think that they're just trying to get the WEC name out of people's minds, so when they fold it into the UFC or do whatever they're going to do, maybe they won't completely absorb it, but it's definitely going to be under the UFC name at some point. And I think they're just trying to get the letters WEC out of people's minds. And it's a shame because, as I've said time and time and time again on the show, WEC is my absolute favorite promotion. And I really hate to see it go the way of the Dodo, even if it's because they got bought out by a bigger company. And you know what? I mean, maybe, you know, Zuffa's had a lot to do with the success of WEC in recent years. It's not like they just bought him yesterday. But still, I like to see – it's not even competition. It's just variety. And WEC offers something different. You know, it's UFC is like the battleship, and WEC is like the speedboat. You know, UFC has all the firepower and the huge names, but they're slow, they're bulky. If something goes wrong, it takes a while to fix. WEC is just a small crew. They're the sports boat. They're the small crew of guys. All of them can go, and you know, each of their divisions has 4, 5, 6 guys at the top who can beat any other guy on a given day, it seems, with some rare exceptions, Jose Aldo being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hate to see it go, because it's just, it was such a sleek, solid promotion every time they, you know, had fights, and it looks like they're going to be going away soon, honestly.
I want to know what happened to Joe Martinez.
I don't know. I want to know what happened to all those people.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they just got rid of their entire – they scrubbed their announce team. They scrubbed their ring announcer. And they brought in the UFC stuff. And now it's UFC presents WEC. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah. They're definitely trying to test the waters to phase out that name, and it's sad.
It is. And the really sad thing for me is I think Dana's just going to go ahead and call this an unquantified success. He's going to be like, yeah, this was great. This was a great pay-per-view. We're redeemed. You know, I love how the UFC takes all the credit for this pay-per-view after Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I know.
We made it so great. Like, shut up.
Yeah, I'm going to be kind of interested to see the buy rates on this one.
Yeah, definitely.
And then when they promoted the next pay-per-view, which I'm predicting right now ain't going to do all that well. I'm sorry, you can't sell a pay-per-view on Jamie Varner and Kamal Shalarus. You know?
Yeah.
Wait. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you have the crybaby of the lightweight division versus a guy who, unless you're a hardcore MMA fan, not a lot of people have ever even heard of.
Yeah.
Who was a very good fighter. Scheller's an Olympic wrestler. I mean, he's a fantastic fighter, undefeated, but that's not going to – and I mean, unless they have another co-main event that they can manage to line up, and I don't even know what they do because they just ended up doing, you know, two of their champions, and they only have 2 more belts. Actually, no, they only have the 1 more belt. It's the bantamweight. So, and I don't think Cruz is going to be defending on that one, so – we'll see how it goes. But of course, our main event of the evening, Jose Aldo defeats Uriah Faber by unanimous decision, chopping Faber's legs out like they were a tree out from under him.
Yeah. Hamburger? Oh, my gosh.
It's pretty bad.
I'm so upset about it.
Oh, that's right. You're a huge Uriah fan. I forgot.
Yeah. I kind of dig him.
Oh.
But, you know.
Well, what is it? Is it the crater in his face, that chin thing, or, I mean...
You know, it's kind
of
despite that.
The butt chin,
kind of
yeah.
Despite that.
Ass chin.
He does have kind of a butt chin, doesn't he?
Kinda? Kinda? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's like saying Kimbo's got kind of a beard, doesn't he? He's got a little facial hair.
A little fuzz going on. Yeah, I like him just like that. He's a cool cat.
Anyway, one-sided ass-kicking. I'm sorry, what's that? I didn't hear you.
From a fighter standpoint, from like a skill standpoint, he's an amazing fighter. That's why I like him.
He's absolutely an excellent fighter.
Right.
You know, and he put on another one of his gutsy performances where the guy was clearly on one leg for most of the night, but he just, you know, he still, you know, went at it with everything he could.
Let's talk about round five.
That being said, I'll just chop his legs out. And honestly, if I was Faber's corner, I would have stopped it in the fourth.
Yeah,
just because Faber was just getting beat up for those last.
He can hardly walk.
Exactly. I mean, there's not a lot he could have done, and I know Faber's got a lot of pride, but you know what? Your fighter's getting so beat up, there's not a lot of point to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The fifth round, Aldo did very, very little. In the fifth round, there was some speculation as to why. People think he was tired. People think that he was just cruising because he knew he had to fight one. Me and Shooter have a slightly different theory. Shooter?
Personally, and it'll sound funny, but the God's honest truth is, I believe Aldo was just being merciful.
Yeah.
I think he was just laying back. I do. I think he laid back because he didn't want to hurt him anymore. He had the fight in the bag.
He knew he had it.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. He knew he had it. And, you always risk the chance, especially if your eyes' hands aren't broke, that he could possibly land a haymaker. Yeah, mm-hmm. At this point, I think he just hung back. I don't think he was tired. I don't think it was anything other than the fact that he just figured he had the game, or he had the game. He had the fight won, and I think he was just tired of hurting him. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was showing a little mercy there.
Yeah.
You know,
easily won that fourth round.
It's, you know, Jose Aldo is really showing that he is, you know, I mean, the first thing that popped in my mind when I was watching this fight is Anderson Silva, but, you know, maybe that's not even a fair comparison. You know, he's really, you know, he's his own fighter. He shouldn't be compared, you know, he shouldn't be, oh, well, he's, you know, the small Anderson Silva. He's just Jose Aldo. I mean, this guy is.
Yeah, he's a league of his own.
Walk through everyone he's faced and the toughest fighters in the world. Uriah Faber. Mike Brown, of course, Cub Swanson, another elite featherweight fighter.
Don't you be talking to me about Cub Swanson.
and
disrespected my boy.
Really, really getting to the post, clearing out the division. And on a side note, and I don't want to take anything away from Faber because the guy was such a big name for such a long time. But I'm hoping that this win will stop the Uriah Faber WEC poster boy thing. Because, I mean, you know, yes, he was your dominant champion for years, but he hasn't been your dominant champion for a couple of years now. It was Brown, and now it's Aldo. And, you know, he's the popular fighter, but you need to stop, you know, basing all your cards around him and making him your poster boy. Because, I mean, even Chuck Liddell stopped being the UFC poster boy after three, four losses. You know, and it's really got to be. They got to make... You know, Jose Aldo should be your poster boy, and Ben Henderson should be your poster boy. Well, as long as you're going to be having posters, because you're going to be folded into the UFC soon.
right? BJ Penn should be your poster boy.
then you can have BJ Penn be your poster boy. But, Favors obviously a very, very popular guy, but they need to stop building the ship around him because people are going to tune in and watch their boy lose. You know, obviously he's not going to lose to every guy he fights because he's still one of the best there, but it's a little ridiculous for them to act like Faber's the best fighter in WEC when he's clearly not.
Right, right.
So I hope that'll be the end of that. But all in all, this is a very, very good card.
It was great.
This is as good as it's certainly I believe better than the last UFC card.
Oh, without a doubt.
It maybe wasn't the best WEC card, but it was close.
No.
It was good. But we'll see how they follow it up next month.
Oh, wait. Before, I just want to make sure. Do we have any cards next week?
No.
We need to run down.
No, we have.
We always do this, and then we like ignore certain organizations.
We have a Bellator card if you want to go over that.
Nah, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay, good.
It's not until May 8th, and that's going to be 113.
Yeah, it's going to be
short. Correct you are. Now, before we start wrapping it up, I had one part of the sack I completely forgot. I was rushing because Derek was going to go throw up and leave the show, so I had to hurry up and get off. But that's right, folks. And I got to get Brooks to make me some music for this because it's this week's time for Chael Sonnen Nonsense.
Oh, yes, the Chael Sonnen Suicide Watch.
Okay, no. Chael Sonnen was on Inside MMA this week. Now, for once, he didn't mention how he knows the conspiracy surrounding Anderson Silva speaking English. No, this time he decided to enlighten the world by saying that the Strikeforce card was pretty terrible because there's no way there's anything he could think of that he would want to do for 25 minutes, especially watching a fight. He goes, I can't think of anything I'd want to do for 25. Yeah, exactly. He's like, I can't think of anything I'd want to do for 25 minutes.
Poor Mrs.
And I definitely don't want to watch a fight. Yeah, exactly. Poor Mrs. Sonnen. All that aside, he also stated that and when Boss asked him, you know, well, what do you think you ought to do about that? What would be? And BJ Penn was the other guest host, by the way, and he did a great job as usual. And they asked him, what would you suggest as a way to
Hang on a second. As an aside, when you're looking at an MMA show and you go, wow, that guy's crazy, and BJ Penn is on the show and he's not the guy you're talking about. That's when you know things have gone awry.
Exactly. Something bad has happened, yeah. So Sonnen gets on there and he says, well, this is what I would do. He goes, this is what they need to do. Number one, they need to eliminate, maybe only have two rounds.
So Anderson Silva can only beat me up for 10 minutes.
Yeah. He said maybe title fights should just be two rounds, or maybe instead of five-minute rounds, they should shorten the rounds to 2 or 3 minutes. Makes the fights more exciting. It makes the fighters work hard. I'm like, I don't see how that makes the fighters work any harder. I really don't. But that's what Chael Sonnen thinks. Oh, and he's also running. He's running for some government position in Oregon, which I barely paid attention to.
Vote Sonnen, everybody.
Yeah, vote Sonnen. He's not insane.
Wow.
I'm telling you, people, Anderson Silva can speak English. Okay, he speaks English. Who gives a shit?
You know, you got to wonder if, like, Sonnen in the middle of the night and his phone rings and it's Anderson Silva. He's like, nobody believes you, Chael.
Go ahead.
You never know.
That's always all my talk. Chael. I'm coming to kill you.
No one believes you, Chael. You are completely wrong. I, Anderson Silva, will not be defeated by the likes of thou. Thine ignorance will overcome thee.
Chael Sonnen. This really is going to be a weekly segment. Every week he says something else stupid. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's
the consistency of this man.
I've got great news out of Chael Sonnen.
BJ Penn has some crazy. Jamie Varner has some crazy. But very few people have been consistently as crazy as Chelsea. He's like this. He's like the modern generation's version of Ken Shamrock. He's just consistently nuts.
Respect! I'm going to get my respect. Ow! All right, I'll get it later. Oh, I made a lot of money. Oh.
All right, well, we'll be wrapping the show up now. Before we do, Jamie, you have a special message for a couple of our listeners out there?
Yeah, I do. My brother David is in Iraq, and my brother-in-law Tony is in Iraq, and they're going to be listening, so I just wanted to send a little thing out to them and tell them hi, and that we love them and we miss them, and we definitely have been thinking about them. We can't wait to see them when they get back. They're both fighters, so they're training hard. That's what they do now over there, sending them gloves and workout gear and stuff like that, so they're actually getting some classes, and they're getting some bouts going over there in Iraq so that they can keep their stress level down and, beat it out of each other instead. So I think we're going to have a couple forces to be reckoned with when they get back.
All right.
It'll be amazing. It'll be amazing. One's coming back. I think they're coming back, sometime in the winter.
All right. Well, come home safe.
Yeah, my brother's name is David Lang, and then my other brother is Tony Wright. So we love you, and we miss you guys.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, come home safe, gentlemen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll meet them. You'll meet them both.
Sweet. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Kenny,
thank you, guys.
Surviving.
It was great.
Be sure to join us next week. God knows who we'll have on the show. Maybe
we might have Dean Thomas.
I'll see if I can find him.
OhioPostArts.com.
Next week, UFC 113.